Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Geeks podcast. I'm Alex, here with Pat again for the NFL Week 7 edition. Let's go over the picks real quick from last week. As you all know, I've been behind substantially in the picks after a rough start, but I started my comeback last week going 9-7, while Pat struggled at 6-8.
I just wanted to let you into it. You know, get some hope up, because I like to crush people's spirits as much as I can.
Let's keep things interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, the bye weeks for this week, you got the Lions, Texans, Colts, and Jets. So that means we have 14 games to run through real quick for this week. First up, Philadelphia at Tennessee.
I will take Philadelphia. I read an interesting article this week. I don't know if you saw it. It was on ESPN about Chris Johnson's play this year, that he's kind of trying to do a Barry Sanders thing, and he's hurting the team by just looking for those big yards. He's not taking what's given to him. And I just was thinking that's how you set records, you know, going for those big plays, big carries, but it's not how you get wins week to week.
Yeah.
And just the way Philly's playing lately, I'll take them.
Yeah, I like Philly too. I was actually looking at Chris Johnson too. I didn't see that article you read, but just last year, people were talking about, oh no, he's completely derailed, but I think the thing is, like, they're winning games. Like, last year, he had the same exact amount of yards through six games as he did the year, as he does this year. And last year, they were 0-6 at this time. So, I mean, I don't know what to think of that, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you make predictions like he has. Karma has a way of catching up with people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. Because he could go off. Because last year, I mean, at this time, no one thought he was going to rush for 2,000 yards, and then he did.
Yeah, he just rattled them off. So we'll see.
Should be interesting. But I like Philadelphia too there. Next up, Cincinnati at Atlanta.
I'll take Atlanta. They got exposed a bit last week, probably to your delight.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to write them off yet, and especially not against Cincinnati. So.
Yeah, I've been anti-Atlanta all year long, just not a believer, but I like them over Cincinnati. Cincinnati, they've just been like struggling. I think maybe Cincinnati could, you know, if they find a way to win this one, I think Cincinnati could get back into it a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, any team that can beat the Ravens, obviously that's Ravens are a top team, and Cincinnati had what it took 1 week. So, you know, if they just have Baltimore's number, I don't know, but there's some potential there. So
yeah, they just definitely been struggling offense. Seems like they've been passing too much. You know, not running the ball like they were last year. You know, and they're back to the Cincinnati of 2 or 3 years ago when they were just passing the ball all the time, not winning a whole lot of games. So.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to return to their old ways. Mm-hmm. All right. Cleveland at New Orleans.
I'll take the Saints. And allow me to go on a little rant for a second, if you don't mind. I've heard several people, and Dan Patrick today, I heard Stink, our buddy Stink, on ESPN talk about how the reason the Saints are struggling is because Reggie Bush has been hurt. And my gut told me that wasn't true, and statistically, it's not true either. I looked it up. Breeze's two worst passing games in terms of yardage were weeks 1 and 2 when Bush was playing. Every week since then, he's had higher. And in the 2 weeks Bush played, he had a whopping 18 yards on 7 carries. So all this talk about how dynamic a player and how much of a threat, I don't see it. He's fast, but a lot of guys in the NFL are fast.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he is a dynamic player in a lot of ways, but the thing is, the Saints have a lot of dynamic players.
Yeah.
And they've just been shuffling guys in and out. Wide receivers, they've got 4 or 5 guys that can get it done. At running back, you know, they've had some injuries, but they're still finding ways to, you know, and they've improved. They've kind of come around, I think, at least a little bit.
Right, and is he any more dynamic than Devin Hester or Percy Harvin? In my opinion, no, I don't think so. And he was rated, I think the players see that, he was rated, they did an NFL players poll, and he was rated 8th on the most overrated list on there. So, did you hear who's number 1?
I saw that. Was it, I can't remember, tell me.
Oh, now I just blanked.
Oh.
Well, we'll go. I'll think of it. We can keep going.
Okay.
I will come back to it. So.
All right, next up, Pittsburgh at Miami.
I'll take Pittsburgh here. Big Ben got his practice round in against Cleveland, and I think Miami is a much better team, but I think Pittsburgh's the best team in the league right now. So,
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. They kind of, I mean, they were playing Cleveland, but look, Big Ben looks solid, and I think they'll continue to roll.
Yeah, as long as James Harrison doesn't retire.
Oh yeah, if he doesn't retire. Man, he's really, that kind of bothered me too. He's really like stretched this thing out. Like he was complaining, and then he got fined, and he was like, "I'm gonna retire," and now he's like appealing the fine. So
yes,
it's just kind of like get over yourself, buddy.
Oh, and I just remembered most overrated player. Terrell Owens.
Yeah, I just looked that up too.
Yeah.
All right. Next game, St. Louis at Tampa Bay.
I'll take St. Louis. Coming off of a big win against the Chargers, and Tampa Bay got just blasted by the Saints. So I'll take the team with the momentum here. So.
Yep, I'm going to take St. Louis too. I mean, it's at home for Tampa Bay, but I don't really think they have a huge home field advantage. Maybe they have more fans than the Rays, but. That's not saying. So I like St. Louis as well. Next up, San Francisco at Carolina.
I think I'll take the 49ers. I think they'll get their much-anticipated, long-overdue second win of the year, just kind of due to the fact that Carolina's an awful football team. So.
Yep, I'll agree with you. Carolina's switching quarterbacks again, going back to Matt Moore. That's never good. When you're switching QBs mid-season, you got some stuff going wrong, and it's not going to work out.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, next one, Washington at Chicago.
I'm going to take Washington. I think Chicago's coming back down to earth a little bit. You know, they got a good defense. They can stop the rush, but their pass defense isn't so hot, and that's one thing Donovan McNabb can do, you know, and he's got some weapons out there too. So I'll take Washington.
Yep, I'm going to agree with you. I was hoping you would take Chicago on that one so I could pick up another game on you. But yeah, the Washington defense is pretty stout, and you know Chicago got sacked or Cutler got sacked like 20 times in that one game. So I just think Washington will be able to stop them, you know, more than the Bears can stop the Washington offense because they've looked good. McNabb had a couple games. That one game against the Texans, he passed for like 400 yards. So I mean, I think they're definitely improved over last year, and so like Washington.
Yep.
All right, next one: Jacksonville at Kansas City.
I'll take the Chiefs. I mean, easily the surprise team of this year, I would say. They're the best rushing team in the league right now, and with that, you can control the tempo and the clock. And while a good team might be able to score quickly, like the Colts, if needed, I don't think Jacksonville can do that in, you know, the short amount of time they'll probably have the ball. So I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, I thought Jacksonville was awful. I don't understand. They're 3-3, but I don't know how they're 3-3.
No idea. I don't know how that worked out.
If you watch their games or look at their numbers, like they should be 1-5 or something.
Right.
So, yeah, I like Kansas City too there.
Not an impressive. And they're in a fairly tough – they're in the AFC, and they're in a fairly tough division. So I don't know how they're coming out here right now.
I don't know. All right, Buffalo at Baltimore.
I'm going to go Baltimore, obviously.
Are you sure you don't want to pick the upset here?
You know, I'll let you.
I'll allow it.
I'm sure you would. How much points would you give me? That's a better question. I mean, it's Buffalo, so I guess that's really all there is to say. So.
Yeah, Buffalo not good. Although the quarterback Fitzpatrick has looked better the last couple weeks, but they still lose every game, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
Arizona at Seattle.
Yeah, talk about a
this
game
is a
I
tough
probably-
one. I don't know.
Yeah, this one, yeah, I and the next one for me too, but we'll get to that in a second. I'm taking Seattle, I think just because they're the home team. Arizona's given up a lot of points this year, the second most in the NFC, but Seattle doesn't score a ton either, so it's really a toss-up, but I went with the home team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the home team too, Seattle. I almost picked Arizona because they're coming off a bye, but I don't know how much that really matters. This could be, you never know what could happen to this game. I think it could be a blowout either way. Or it could be some, you know, overtime. I mean, it's just, I just don't really think we know what to expect from this team, these two teams yet. Even though it's been, you know, they both played 5 games.
Yeah. Latest rumor I heard about Fitzgerald is the Vikings are going to try to get him because he's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I think his contract is up after this year, so he might. And it, with the season going the way it is, there he's probably going to want out. I would assume. But
yeah. That's interesting. All right, next one, Denver or Oakland at Denver. Excuse me.
Yeah, had a little trouble with this one, but not as much. I think Denver will take it. They almost beat a really, really good Jets team, and I think they're a better team than their record shows. And Oakland really hasn't played that great against more solid teams. They beat the teams they should, but
yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I like Denver. They would have beat the Jets, like you said, if not for this like fluky bomb with the pass interference. that let the Jets score in the last couple of minutes, but I think they'll be able to score some major points against Oakland. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, next one, New England at San Diego.
I'm going Patriots. A slow start for the Chargers is one thing if it's, you know, 0-2 or 1-3, but they could be looking at 2-5 pretty easily after this week.
Yeah.
And New England's just playing better football right now, so.
All
right,
I'm taking the upset. I'm going with
San Diego. Ooh, you're going San Diego.
I'm going with San Diego at home. I think they'll be able to score some points. Phillip Rivers and that offense, they've been pretty good. The defense, like, they're like ranked in the top five in like every category of everything, somehow just not winning. So I think this will be the game at home.
Is this a revenge pick after the Patriots beat your Ravens?
A little bit. That's okay.
Okay.
Maybe. But, yeah, I think I like San Diego this week at home. So.
All right. We can try to pick one up there.
Yeah. Sunday night, Minnesota at Green Bay.
I'm going to take my Vikings. I think Green Bay is really banged up. They got Donald Driver, A.J. Hawk, and Charles Woodson listed as probable. Minnesota won. It was a sloppy win last week, but they won against Dallas. And Moss has a pretty extensive history of dominating at Lambeau Field, especially in big spotlight Monday night, Sunday night games. So,
yeah, I'm going to agree with you here. I like the Minnesota defense. They played real good a couple weeks ago when I saw them play. I guess it was against Dallas. And then Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 14 times this year already. And for a guy that's mobile like he is, to be sacked 14 times means he's been getting pressured a lot more than that. So I like the Minnesota pass rush to hold that offense
a little bit. That's a real good defensive line. And like you said, I think the defense is kind of surprisingly underrated for the Vikings. I think all the focus has been on Moss and Favre's dong. So the Vikings D plays well. They did well against the Jets too. So.
Yep. All right, and then Monday night, New York Giants at Dallas.
I will take the Giants. Their defense is just playing pretty dominant football this year, and they're working Brandon Jacobs back into the mix. That running game is going well, and Dallas is just kind of a mess with all those penalties and just stupid penalties too. So I'm going to take the Giants.
I'm going to go against you. I'm taking Dallas because this is do or die. Last time they had a do or die game was in Houston. They won that game. This one, I feel, again, like they have to win this game or else Wade Phillips will not be coaching here anymore.
But wasn't the Minnesota game a do-or-die?
No.
Maybe not.
I don't think it was.
Okay.
I think this is do-or-die. You see, you can't have two do-or-dies in a row. There's, like, they've had some turmoil, so I think this is another one where they have to win it.
Yeah, because if they go start the year 1-5, I mean, you can pretty much...
Yeah.
Almost right off the playoffs. I mean, there's obviously a chance, but...
And then against a division team where they could make up some ground, keep them from getting further ahead in the division, I feel like they have to win this if they want a chance to make the playoffs, so...
And I'm still not sold on Eli Manning as...
No, me neither.
I think he's...
I've gone on record. You
know, a couple plays away from a disaster choke game, so... Could very well be, so...
All right, well... And you got anything else you want to talk about? How do you feel about the... we got a couple minutes. How do you feel about the whole helmet-to-helmet hits, suspensions, fines, and all that?
I don't know. I go back and forth. I think people who are out to injure, out to hurt, the real dirty, dirty shots, that's one thing. But it is football. It's a rough game. Everybody knows that. No one walks onto the field thinking that it's, you know, going to tickle when they get hit. So yeah. I don't know. I think the NFL is really swinging the pendulum to the cautious side, and there's lots of hypocrisy going with them with how much they promote the heavy hitting and stuff, and now they're going to fine guys just quite a bit of money. So what's your take?
Well, I just think people are overreacting. Like, the thing is, they're not talking about, I mean, I saw the video that they sent out, that the league sent out. They're not suspending everyone for any type of big hit. It's just like, I feel like they're doing an okay job, in my opinion, of focusing on the helmet-to-helmet stuff that's, like, really unnecessary. Like, there's no reason for it you don't need to do that to tackle somebody.
Right.
And if you want to get the ball out, you don't want to get the ball out by knocking them unconscious and getting the ball. Just go for the ball.
Right. Yeah, that whole thing that they keep talking about to separate man from the ball. Well, if you're close enough to lay a helmet into their chest or into their back, you're close enough to get to the ball itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, they should target the vicious ones, and they probably have been doing that. I think guys like Harrison are blowing it out of proportion and making a bigger deal out of it.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes in the future, you know, how they continue to enforce it, but that remains to be seen. All right, well, that'll do it for this week. We'll see how things go. Everyone enjoy your football this weekend. I'm Alex here with Pat. Follow us on Twitter at The Sports Geeks and check out thesportsgeeks.com. Pat, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
See you guys next week.